So next, we're going to hear from a good friend of mine, a member of the Center for Political Organization, an organizer, an outspoken, unapologetic Marxist-Leninist, a truck driver, a father, and a good friend of mine, the great Dust James, anti-imperialist America.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, workers and friends. Welcome, friends of socialist China. Welcome, friends of anti-imperialist Russia. I am glad to be here today with great comrades and friends from various backgrounds and perspectives. We are the burning embers of the coming revolution in America. What do I see here? Right here on the front row, I see the embodiment and the carrying on of the message of the great Marcus Garvey. Right here in the front row. The great Marcus Garvey that inspired the oppressed African people in the Americas and throughout the globe, including in Africa, that black is beautiful. That they can fight for themselves, they can be proud of themselves, they can stand up and throw off the yoke of exploitation. What else do I see in this audience? I see the great internationally renowned journalist Garland Nixon, who I just learned is the prodigy who was mentored by Paul Robeson Jr., the great who referred to himself as Afro-American Paul Robeson, who stood up against the House on un-American activities. And in that speech, when he stood up, he looked the fascists in the eye, who were attacking the great African civil rights leader, and he said, "You are the unpatriots. You are the fascists. I ain't gonna let no fascist people turn me around." What else do I see when I look out here? I'm also going to refer to Brother Garland Nixon again, who is the son of a longshoreman. And what you don't hear about the Longshoreman Union, it was integrated by communists. So let's talk about the Communist Party of the United States, the CPUSA, and I'm not talking about the shill of an organization that is nothing more than a Democratic front group. I'm talking about an organization that had hundreds of thousands of members, that led millions of workers and unions that they fought for and they went up for, and they built working class power. We are the continuation of their legacy. We are the burning embers, and we gonna catch flame. So I'm going to talk a little bit about myself. Humble old me, what am I doing up here with all these big city journalists, internationally known folks, little old truck driver from rural North Carolina, horribly named Lee County, North Carolina. I hope they change it to Williams, North Carolina, after the great Robert F. Williams, one of the best North Carolinians that ever lived, that was pushed out of North Carolina by the fascist oppressive state and working with the Klan. They're going to keep all the workers down. So I don't mention my state, North Carolina. Now I'll talk about little old me. I am the direct descendant of the preacher of the second great awakening, Brother Ashella Nettleton. Ashella Nettleton was part of the second great American awakening. And this was the social movement. We look at Nelson Peury. Nelson Peury, great black communist in the United States, said the revolution comes in three stages. The first stage is the economic revolution. And then the people, the lies of the former system no longer fit the current economic reality. And that brings about a social revolution. After the social revolution comes a political revolution. The second Great Awakening was the social revolution to the second American Revolution, which was a civil war that put down the slave owning aristocracy in the South. And I'm here to continue you on his legacy. Because like my comrade, dearly fallen, Ernesto Che Guevara said, at the risk of seeming ridiculous, a great revolutionary is guided by great feelings of love. And in that tradition of Jesus Christ, Christianity is an interesting tool because it's been used to make people docile. Christianity has been used to keep people in slavery. But if you also look at everywhere Christianity was introduced, there was a revolution took it up in his name, or at least a rebellion. We're talking about the Taiping Rebellion in China. We're talking about indigenous brothers and sisters. We're talking about King and the Martin Luther King and the Civil Rights Movement. And any justice and freedom loving people gonna understand that the next king, the King of Kings, is a carpenter. My dad was a carpenter. He went on to do industrial construction. He fixed the machine down in Moncure, North Carolina. He fixed and built the machines that built the plywood plants. And now I'm a truck driver. I've been all 48 states. You know, there's 50 states, but you can't get to Alaska. Well, I could get to Alaska, but I ain't gonna get Hawaii in a tractor trailer. But I now haul that lumber. I'm a worker. I'm a son of a worker, and I'm proud to be working class. Now, I ain't gonna last too long on this. I ain't gonna last too long on this. My grandpa was a farmer. And I speak with a southern accent. I've been down here most of my life. We originally from upstate New York. And there was a student rebellion at Cornell University, or Cornell College, in the late 70s, the Black Power Movement. And my grandpa took my dad out to cheer on and to observe the black student uprising at Cornell College in upstate New York. And because of NAFTA, they destroyed rural American communities. My family, we are economic refugees from northern Appalachia. We moved down to North Carolina, which is the Black Belt South, an oppressed nation. Never really been allowed to be part of America. And I understand if they want to burn the f*** down. So I'm an economic refugee from northern Appalachia who grew up in the Black Belt South. And the majority of my friends, neighbors, schoolmates, loved ones were economic refugees from southern Mexico when NAFTA was passed that put the Corn Belt in southern Mexico out of business because of a system of neoliberalism and imperialism. We are the burning embers of the coming American Revolution. We are the international proletariat in America. So what happened? Why are we the burning embers? Why ain't we done one already? Why don't we don't catch flame? I'm going to tell you what happened to the American Revolution, or the revolution in America. Let's go back to the 1940s when I talked about that Communist Party. That Communist Party that had hundreds of thousands of members and led millions of workers. What did the imperialist, the monopoly capitalist, whatever you want to call them, do? It was called McCarthyism. McCarthyism. Now, you know, I'm talking a lot of big words here for, you know, truck driver. And I didn't come about them. I didn't come about these words myself. I was taught these words. I was taught these words that people that trace their legacy directly back to the union organizers that organized the first integrated labor unions in North Carolina. And I learned it from them, and they were communists. This is where I learned it from. I didn't learn it from no bourgeois university. I learned it from an institution of the working class. That's where power comes from. That's where understanding comes from. We ain't gonna get it from their institutions. We gotta build our own institutions. So I got this ideology in the tradition of Marxism-Leninism. That sounds crazy to folks. You know, most folks, you know, around where I live, you know, some of them voted for Trump. Some of them voted for Biden, you know, and they don't want to, you know, if they can, you know, have a truck. There's this horrible corporate country song. I got a truck and I got a boat that can pull. I want a truck, so I get a boat that can pull it. And they're happy, and they're going to drink some beer, and they're going to go out and listen to that watered-down corporate pop country that I hate. You know what? You know what? I don't blame them. You know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of struggle. It's a lot of sacrifice to actually do something to try to change it. And some folks, they need to be pushed to the brink. They can be pushed where they got to do something. You know, and I've been around. I come up hard, you know. Family of eight in a two-bedroom trailer in North Carolina with an underfunded school system. And the reason why, you know, so tough in North Carolina is because it's part of the Black Belt South. And they keep black folks poor. They keep Chicano folks poor. I grew up partially in a neighborhood, you know, folks mostly from Oaxaca, Mexico. Folks from Guerrero, Mexico. Folks, NAFTA put out of business. That's imperialism. Imperialism ain't just war. Imperialism ain't just tanks. Imperialism, by my understanding of Marxist-Leninism, is an economic institution. It's a global economic institution. And this system of imperialism is the same system that forced my friends, neighbors, and loved ones out of their homeland, their beloved homeland. I ain't gonna believe this liberal nonsense that America's such a great place. All these people want to come here because it's so beautiful, because I seen it from the inside and it's pretty damn ugly. That was forced out by the system called imperialism. And this system of imperialism is the same system of imperialism that continued to encroach on Russia's borders. That arm Nazis in the Ukraine to attack the Russian people. Now let's talk about Russia. You want to call Russia the big demon and the big enemy? Let me tell you about Russia. Russia had an anti-colonial revolution, an anti-capitalist revolution in 1917, where the people, for the first time, came to power and threw off the bourgeoisie, and then they were invaded by 17 capitalist countries. And what did the Soviet Union do? The Soviet Union was in solidarity with the people of Cuba. The Soviet Union was in solidarity with the people of Africa. And then they done messed around. They played China against each other, against Russia. They played Russia against China. And they done manipulated stuff from the inside. And they tore down Russian socialism. And there was a horrible time period in the 90s, the neoliberal era, where they rigged elections to make it happen. And there was mass poverty. 10% U.S. rigging of election caused 10% of the Russian population to flee or starve. And there was a political movement that did not like this. And this political movement was led by the great Putin. Yes, I said the great Putin. And you know what he did? He nationalized the oil and the gas, reinvested in Russia, and took them out of poverty. And Putin didn't just stop there. You know what he did? He continued the legacy of the Soviet Union, and he went to Africa, and he didn't give them IMF loans and sovereignty-violating loans. He sold fertilizer to the starving African people. He sold wheat at below market prices to the starving African people. And I look at my starving black brothers and sisters in North Carolina and my Chicano brothers and sisters here that are starving from the same enemies of monopoly capitalism, and I say, Russia is our friend. Russia eliminates poverty. Russia stands up against imperialism. I stand with Russia. My community stands with Russia. Now let's talk about this pantsuit lady. Done gone over, spent $90 million of money that could go invest in the North Carolina school system and feed hungry children. Going over there to provoke Russia, we're going to provoke war with China. And we taught to hate China too. They tell us that China stole all our jobs. 1968 was, you know, I talked about why we ain't got no, you know, what happened to the revolution in America. Not only did they suppress it in the form of COINTELPRO against the Black Panther movement and the Black Power movement and McCarthyism, they got a stick and a carrot. They created something called the American labor aristocracy. It's height in 1968. And at the blood and the sweat of colonized and oppressed people, American workers could buy nice cars, TVs, have a little house, and then have to pay so much student debt for a little bit of time. And they had the power to do it then, the American imperialists. Well, I'm gonna get back around to China. So they done said that China done stole our job. And if you look, you know, right about the height of the labor aristocracy, 1968, normalizations with China in 1980, a lot of jobs were shipped over there. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it won't no Chinese person done ship my job over to China. It was a monopoly capitalist who wanted a bigger profit. That's who did it. And let me tell you about the Chinese workers. If you got a phone, you think a Chinese worker. If you wearing shoes, you think a Chinese worker. Because we were workers, and we value worker, and we love our Chinese brothers and sisters. And we hate the capitalists who deindustrialized this country and put us in the poorhouse. And they no longer got the resources to bribe us off no more. So they coming up with that stick. And they don't try to hit our brothers and sisters in the Huru movement. They don't try to hit, you know, our Venezuelan brothers and sisters who form socialism. They gonna go against everybody they can, provoking wars everywhere they can. You know what? Their currency is falling because there's a new economic rising block, and that is being led by China, socialist China, that is in alliance with anti-imperialist Russia. That is offering better deals to our poor and exploited black and brown brothers and sisters in Latin America and Africa. Offering better loans and building up those countries. They no longer got the money to bribe us off with these bloody goods. Because I've been to all the 48 states, and you know what I see when I go down to South Carolina? I see boarded up main streets. Out here in the Midwest, they got the Rust Belt. In North Carolina, we call it the Carolina Rot Belt. Because all these houses was used to bought have been desolated and left to rot. Populations fleeing. And I've been along the Mississippi. You got boarded up downtowns where the only places you can go to are the gambling den, some kind of government building, everything else gone. Where them people gone? All these population, where are these people gone? A lot of these folks fled to California, and they're living in the streets of Skid Row, and they're dying by the thousands. This government ain't got nothing to do for them people. They ain't got nothing to do for us. The American people, and the people who may not want to consider themselves America, Americans in America, can no longer hold any faith in this dying, crumbling system. We need a new system. We need a new system that fights for us. We need a government of action to fight for working families. And how are we going to get it? We're going to get it by following the leadership of our black and brown brothers and sisters that been building. Yeah. And we're going to go and we're going to feed the people. And we're going to go and we're going to form outreach groups that can give the needs of the people when this system is falling around itself. And from this, just like they did in the Soviet Union where they formed the workers' councils. And then when there was a crisis, those workers' councils took power and implemented a new system. And we got to have a dramatic change of values. We got to give up the individualism, the selfishness, the depravity, the dehumanization. You know, everybody likes to talk about the racism in North Carolina, and there's racism in North Carolina, and I'm ready to fight against it. But you look at all these liberal states, like California, and you look at the conditions of the Chicano people on their own homeland, and you look at these white liberals. They act like they're all better than us Southern folks because they got a Black Lives Matter flag. But look at the way they treat their gardener and they treat their maid and they walk by people that are in starvation. And they just gonna let it be like that. That's racism. They ain't gonna stand for it. And the people, the working class, oppressed people need to stand together. And we're gonna stand together and unite against the imperialists. And we're gonna stand with the anti-imperialist bloc. And we're gonna stand with Russia. And we're gonna stand with China. All power to the people.
That was utterly tremendous. Thank you, Comrade Dust, for your spiritous remarks. That was great. So we're going to have another song from our musician, and after that we'll have a representative of the Chicago Center for Political Innovation to talk about the local activities that are going on. So, Paul, go ahead and play a song for us. Yeah.